Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur with your host, Steve Kidd, third-generation minister and business coach. Join Steve and his guests to get answers to your questions and help break through to the next level in your business.
This is Steve. Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur. So glad you're here with us today. I appreciate you. I appreciate that you are on a journey to live your best life and to thrive in your life and business. Purpose. Today, we want to talk all about purpose, because as I'm always telling you, you were created for a purpose. You're here on this planet, not in any way by accident, but absolutely and completely for and with a purpose. But you need to understand that. You need to know how to discover that purpose and then how to transform into the kind of person that really can live out the purpose that you were put here to live on this planet. Each of us can do one thing really well, and that's be the best version of ourselves. There are amazing people. You could spend an entire show just naming names of people who have had a dramatic, amazing impact on the world. But here's the one thing that no matter whose name you want to put in there, cannot do. And that is, they cannot be you. You have a purpose. You are here absolutely for a specific reason. And it is so important that you find your purpose and that you really then live out every day of your life in that purpose. Now, don't get me wrong. There are times when all of us wake up and we're like, ugh, I just don't have energy today. I just don't feel like it. You know, I'm not talking about being some kind of weirdo clone, Stepford wife, whatever. I'm just talking about simply genuinely and uniquely being you and having that thing inside of you that drives you on those days when you're down, when you have less energy than others, to be able to say, you know what? Here's what I can do today with my limited energy. You know, I mean, maybe you've, gotten hurt, like literally physically, you have a hurt or a pain, or you have had an emotional scar that's happened recently. All of those things happen in our lives. The important thing is that when we identify and live maximized in our purpose, then we have the ability to not only get up on those hard days, but to make the impact that we were created to put into this world. So I want you to just hold that concept of purpose tight next to you throughout this whole episode, and we are going to give you some transformative, amazing information how to be able to live your life in purpose as I bring you again three more best-selling authors and their amazing books, all talking about a different aspect of how to live your life on purpose and with a purpose. Hopefully by now, if you've been listening to the show long enough, you know that your life is intended to have a purpose, that there is a purpose for you. Sometimes we need a little help to learn how to transform into the life that we're supposed to have and live power-filled in that life. Doesn't that sound awesome? I love that phrase, power-filled. So to help us talk about that today, I have the author here of a best-selling book, Transformed for Purpose. Her name is Andrea Humphrey. Hi, Andrea. How are you doing today?
I'm doing excellent today, Steve. Thank you so much. And I'm honored to be here today with you talking.
Yeah. So the book, Transformed for Purpose, is just the perfect little book to be able to read to really make huge changes in your life. How did you come up with the concept for it?
Well, most of my life is really filled with trying to help people get to their purpose. And it seems every aspect of my life, whether it's starting a business or speaking, everything seems to be about transformation. And somebody asked me simply to do a journal. I did the journal, and they said, you know, you're on to something. You need to expand this. One thing led to another, and I looked up, and I was writing more and more and put it all together, and a book came out of it. I'd written a book before, and so it made sense to collect all of these 30 pieces and seam them together, sew them together. And friends said, you know, this makes sense. Can I have a copy?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you share in the book 30, and I love this phrase, power moves that you can make in your life, physically, spiritually, mentally. Talk to us about the concept of a power move. What does that mean?
A power move is really when you take a step towards being better at something. For instance, most of us, when we look at trying to change our whole life, it's overwhelming. How can I change my whole life immediately? Most of us can't do it. But when you break it down into individual, smaller bite-sized pieces, if I can say it that way, and say one step at a time, one power move at a time, then it becomes doable. And when you make those moves practical, it becomes even more practical and able to do for most people. And so I call them power moves because when you take a step and you get closer to your goal, it makes you feel powerful. And so one move at a time, I get more powerful as I go. And I put the two together and I call them power moves.
Absolutely. That's awesome. So we're going to make people buy the book if they want to get all 30 power moves. But give us an example of one power move that we can make in our life.
One power move. One of them is changing our atmosphere. A lot of times we get stagnant in our lives. We do the same thing over and over again looking for a change. And one thing that happened to me is I get bored really quickly. And I looked up and my atmosphere was the same. I was going to the same office doing the same thing over and over again, surrounding myself with the same people who were bored with their lives. And I looked up and I thought, if I just simply change my routine, change my atmosphere, one small element, and refresh just the things around me. I don't know about you, but sometimes I can get to work on autopilot. I don't engage my brain. I don't engage anything about me. I look up and I'm at work. And I not really could have hit somebody, but I could have run over a boat on my way to work because I just didn't engage. I'm so on autopilot. And if you can just change some of the atmospheres around you, it will make your brain have to engage in a different way, whether that's people, your office, whether it's just what you wear or who you talk to, whatever it may be, changing your atmosphere just forces your brain to re-engage in a different way. And that's one power move that you can do just to make your body and your mind, your emotions and your spirit come alive again and get off of autopilot.
I love that, you know, because something as simple as just you're sitting in the chair, you're going through the day, you know, it's not necessarily a good or a bad day. It's just one of those days, you know, something as simple as just even standing up and doing a powerful move, literally, can totally change the course of your whole day and go from, you know, a humdrum regular day to like, wow, I had a really great day today.
Yes, indeed. Actually, I did that, and I met a whole new group of people. I changed my office and met an entire new group of people, and through that new group of people, got into a new business. Opened a whole new world up to me, simply with one move, as a result of being bored. And as a result of that, now there's a whole new element of my life that I never would have been exposed to with one simple move. And it invigorated my whole life.
Well, you know, I mean, it can be, I've found it before, you know, because I do radio interviews all the time. It can be something as simple as changing the way that you're speaking so that rather than just talking in a very quiet, plain voice. You know, you bring a little bit of energy into it and you say something exciting, you know, and it's fun for the people around you too. You know, I mean, can you imagine how boring a radio interview would be if it was like, okay, today we're here on the radio, you know?
It's true. I have one of the chapters is called Who Are You Talking To Like That? It speaks to how we even talk to ourselves. Sometimes we get caught up in speaking in that mundane voice to ourselves with no life, no lift, boring and mundane. And so our conversation gets caught up in a boring loop to ourselves, and we're not excited about our own lives. Mm. Or we speak negatively. So I encourage in the book, change how you speak to yourself and about yourself. That's one immediate power move. If you just change your perspective about you. If I'm bored with me, why should anybody else be excited about me?
You know, I said that to somebody the other day. They were like, you know, I saw that you liked your own post, you know, on Facebook. And I was like, well, you know, if I don't like my stuff, why would I expect anybody else to?
It is true. One of the things I talk about is like discipline. Some of these things just require plain old just do it. Discipline. Sometimes you're not inspired. Sometimes you're not motivated. You just have to do it anyway. And I say that because sometimes I don't have an inspiration for it. Sometimes I'm not motivated to do it. But that's where discipline just kicks in. I'm going to do it anyway because the results will be there when I'm not inspired or motivated to do it. And I'll see the change, which will then inspire me or motivate me to get going in a new direction. And sometimes you just have to change your own self-talk. Even if you don't feel it yet, do it anyway, and the emotion will come later.
Yeah, absolutely. There's an old thing I remember from way back in Sunday school in church. You know, we're both ministers, so we can talk that way. You know, and I remember the old example of, you know, your feelings are the caboose of the train. You know, it's your faith that's the engine that drives the train.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It is indeed. And it's unfortunate. I don't always feel like doing it. I know that's good old Southern bad English, but sometimes I just don't. Mm. And if I live my life by my feelings, oh my goodness, there's so many things I would never accomplish. But sometimes I just have to force myself through it. And I look up, and when I get it done, oh my goodness, the feelings of accomplishing are so incredible. That the joy lifts me. And I know you've been there. Mm-hmm. When you turn around and you look back and you go, oh my God, I got it done. There's power in that accomplishment by itself. And the feeling of accomplishment is so much more powerful than the humdrum of I don't want to.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I would encourage people, take that a step further, write that down, because then the next time you're like, nothing's going good, go back and read that book full of all those things and all those high moments in your life, and then be like, okay, life isn't quite as bad as what I thought it was.
Right. It's true. One of the things I talk about is being paralyzed by procrastination. That's another one that gets people all the time. We get locked and stuck by just procrastinating. And I really encourage people, just take one step. Do you remember that old, Christmas kind of cartoon? And there's a song in there that says, just put one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be walking out the door.
I do.
And I encourage people, just pick up one foot. Come on, just pick it up. And you'll look up, and you're moving. You are moving. And you'll get there one step at a time.
The book is called Transformed for a Purpose. It's a practical plan to get unstuck and live a power-filled life. Andrea, thanks so much for spending some time with us here on the show today.
It is my honor and my privilege to do so. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share. I'm looking for people's lives to be transformed so that they are the best them that they can possibly be.
What if you allowed yourself to be transformed for a purpose? What if you put as one of your life goals, as one of your missions, to be a person of purpose so that you could live a power-filled life? I'm going to challenge you to just take a minute here while you're listening to these commercials and think, what's just one way, one thing that I could do today to be open to the transformation that can help me live my purpose? You're listening to Thriving Entrepreneur.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@eWomenNetwork.com. That's managingdirector@eWomenNetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to WeHelpYouThrive.com. Check us out and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
Welcome back. Today we're talking about purpose, specifically your purpose. You have a particular reason that you're here on this planet, a purpose that only you can fulfill. And today we want to help and encourage you to really find ways to do that. Now, I know what happens often when we start talking about living our life with purpose, when we start talking about how amazing we could be in life. There's all those things that creep up into our minds. We have that doubting voice in the back of our head that starts criticizing and reminding us of all the things that we've done that are less than perfect. All of us make mistakes. Every single person that's listening to this show, that ever could listen to this show, every person that they ever run into, every person they're related to, and literally everyone on the planet makes mistakes. We have a purpose for our lives, but we allow outside influences, some of them that we can control, some of them that are out of our control, to take us completely off course. And so instead of living a life of purpose, we fall into shame. We fall into things that we hold against ourselves that keep us from being the best version of ourselves. So next, we want to talk about how you can deal with those things in your life that are keeping you from living the purpose you're meant to fulfill on this planet. Perhaps one of the most disempowering, insidious things that we allow to creep into our life is shame. It has an impact on us like many other things can never have because we allow it to bind us up. in a horrible way. So to help us talk about that today, I'm so excited to be joined by Linda Husser. She has a book that's just released that's called Releasing the Shackles of Shame. Hi, Linda. How are you today?
I am great, Steve. How are you?
Doing great. I love this little tag you've got underneath of your name, the Shame Changer. I love that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I am here trying to change the game of shame. Mm.
So important and so needed. And one of the things that really jumped out to me initially when we were very first start talking about your book is that you tackle that concept of, as Christians, we have even more shame in our life, because rather than making mistakes and overcoming them, you know, getting forgiveness, all the things that we're supposed to have in our lives as Christians, we just bury more and more and more shame on top of ourselves for every mistake that we've ever made.
Yeah, and I really don't understand that. And I think even deeper is, how did that come to be? What was the process of that? Is it that we talk a good game, for lack of a better word, but we don't really mean it? Because if we are supposed to be forgiven, and it says judge not, you know, lest you be judged, and how is it that we're so off track from that? Like, how did we actually get here is really the question, because shame touches everyone. I call it Club Shame because it has billions of members, but everyone like tears up their membership card in little bitty pieces because they don't want anyone to know that they're a member of Club Shame. But it touches all of us, but nobody wants to talk about it. There's no one in this world who hasn't been touched by shame. So you would think we could rah-rah behind shame and crush it. But it's stronger and stronger, you know, every day it grows stronger and stronger. And it's become very debilitating, like you said, and it's created a lot of issues from, you know, drug abuse, alcoholism. A lot of societal ills have come from shame, but yet we still continue to duck our heads in the sand as if, you know, no, it's all good. I'm not in bondage. I'm just, you know, just going to drink this Jack and Coke because I'm thirsty.
I love that, too, you know, because it's such a good visual. We all tear up our shame card into little teeny tiny pieces. The problem is that we still attend the meeting regularly, you know, because it's just me, myself, and I in our own little support group, you know, keeping the shame going as hard as we can.
Yes. It's a dysfunctional, codependent relationship. I honestly feel that a lot of people would not really know what to do if they overcame their shame, because it's been such a part of their life that to live shame-free is almost more frightening than dealing with the shame, because they've learned how to cover up the shame. They've learned how to put the mask on, like tears of a clown. You're smiling on the outside, but crying, dying on the inside. So it's almost like, well, if I get rid of this buddy that's been with me for so long, then what would I do? What is it like to live free? Because you've been in bondage for so long.
Absolutely. Well, and you share really honestly. I love it because, you know, the Bible says what's done in secret will be shouted from the rooftops. And we have the choice whether we can bring things into light in our own lives or whether we can just wait until we get outed. And I love how you just really put some of the issues you're dealing with out there, but then also really discuss some empowering, impactful statistics about things like herpes. I mean, I know at one point you said, and you know, you shared it with us, plus it's in the book, you know, about African American women being three times more likely to have herpes.
Yes. But there's, like I said, there's no herpes walk, herpes run, herpes bicycle ride, herpes charity, herpes We Are the World, where all the stars get together. It is the strangest thing ever. And if African-American women are 3 times more likely to have herpes than any other race, that's a lot of African-American women with herpes screaming in silence.
I mean,
and, you know,
there was a huge openness and stuff that happened when, you know, when all of the different celebrities, you could just name so many of them, admitted that they had AIDS, and people kind of came around them and supported them, and foundations have been created, and yet, you know, still nobody, I can't think of any major celebrity that's come out and said, you know what, I have herpes.
No. And I think it's very interesting. I almost think because it's not a, it's a life sentence, but it's not a death sentence. So I'm almost thinking because it's manageable and you can become a successful second-class citizen in a secret underground society, that's got to be it, because if nothing else makes sense. But my whole thing is when you are comfortable living that way, then what also happens is the researchers and the pharmaceutical companies, they don't really go to bat for you either, because if you won't go to bat for you, why should someone else? So they continue to just give you the medication and not really worry about trying to find a cure.
Oh, yeah. Well, and so many people will take and they'll look at, you know, your situation with herpes or somebody else who has a shame issue that they're dealing with over another situation. And we all just kind of judge them. It's like, well, I don't have that, you know, rather than really being honest with the fact that there are so many things that we allow ourselves to shame ourselves over rather than living a victorious life.
Mm-hmm. Well, because freedom isn't free. There's a cost to being free. And at the end of the day, you know, I had to ask myself and the next person who, you know, and my shame point, I call them shame points, my shame point is herpes. Someone else's could be rape. Someone else's could, like, infertility. I've got a client who is ashamed that she cannot have children. I had not thought of that as a shame point. So there's so many different things we can be ashamed of. But like I said, it's all about what cost are you willing to pay to be free. And for a lot of people, they feel that putting the golden shackles on and wearing them like a badge of honor is easier than standing in their truth and not living a lie. But suffering is never easy. But we're taught to keep things in and not bring shame on not only ourselves, but the family, because it's not like you suffer alone. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
And I don't know how that came to be. I mean, who taught us that? Why is that? I don't know.
I'm hoping, and in fact, I know the people that read it, they will find this in their life. And so that's why I'm hoping this book will just really get into a whole lot of people's lives. The book is Releasing the Shackles of Shame. It's by Linda Susan Husser. It is an amazing book, very short read, easy to get through. You could do it, you know, in the waiting room waiting for an appointment. And yet it can just transform your life. Linda, if people want to go even a little further than just the book, how could they get in contact with you?
TheShameChanger.com is my website. TheShameChanger.com. I made it really simple because you know, I want a lot of people to be able to come to the website, get the information, and I made it so there's a lot of different shame points on the website, because it's not just herpes. Herpes is my shame point, but I wanted to create a community where people can come together, because when you go to therapy, that's one thing. You go to therapy, and then you meet a therapist, and then you're back in bondage. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to create a community where you could come talk about what your shame is and have someone else who either has this the same shame point or just totally gets shame from their perspective and can tell you some of the things they did to work through it. So theshamechanger.com. You can get in touch with me there. Linda@theshamechanger.com. If you wanted to send me an email, but theshamechanger.com, that's pretty much everything you need. Just remember that.
Until you're really free, you're just existing. Pick up the book, Releasing the Shackles of Shame by Linda Susan Husser today. Thanks, Linda, for being here with us.
Thank you for having me. Have a good day.
My friend Ernie Villanueva always says, you know, there are some people that go around looking for fault like there's money in it, like it's gold. The worst that we do of that is in our own lives. We are so aware of the things that we've done wrong, and yet we don't keep as good of a journal, mentally or in reality, of all of those accomplishments that we've made in life. And I really do want to see you release yourself today from those shackles. Let some of that shame go. Yesterday is a canceled check. Tomorrow is a promissory note. Today is our only legal tender. It's another great statement from Ernie, and I really encourage you, live to the fullest today. Let yesterday be something that was. Forgive yourself. Forgive the others. Whatever needs to do so that you can live free and really get back to living your life in and on purpose. I hope that really that does help you think about that while we take another commercial break, and then we'll be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Imagine the feeling of being seen as the go-to expert in your field and having that at no extra cost for marketing. Plus, having more time for your family, friends, vacations, and hobbies. You don't have to imagine anymore. Hi, I'm Kristen Baker, Sales, Money, and Success Coach, and I want to share my proven formula that I use to close over $100 million in sales. Go to KristenBakerCoach.com, that's K-R-I-S-T-E-N, BakerCoach.com, and access my free checklist called Turn 100 Leads into $20,000. Find out in less than 5 minutes if you've been sitting on a gold mine of ideal clients. Stop wasting time and money on sales and marketing methods that don't work. Start by going to KristenBakerCoach.com. Download my checklist and let's get started today.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time, because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to WeHelpYouThrive.com. Check us out and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. I'm here bringing you three more of our best-selling authors, each of which has a great book about purpose, about how to live your life in the purpose that you were created to live. You are the most qualified person to be you on this planet. There is nobody else on the planet that has the ability to be you. And so I really encourage you. I hope that so far you've already been able to transform and get unstuck just a little bit and break through some of those shackles of shame that you have been holding on to yourself, keeping yourself away from the best possible you that you can be. Now we want to talk even more about how we can learn through the circumstances, some of them bad actually, in our lives, and how there can be a real gleam of light that helps us get to our purpose if our eyes are open and we're willing to see all the miracles that happen in the middle of the fires in our life. All of us have times when life comes against us, when we have circumstances that are against us, or at least it feels that way. And yet what we will find is that as we come through those moments, even sometimes when they feel like chaos or even fire in our lives, that those are the times that really are refining us and making us the person that we were put on this planet to be. So to help us talk about that today, I'm joined by author of the new book, Through the Fire, Finding and Fulfilling Our God-Given Purpose, Angelina Paul. Hi, Angelina. Thanks for being here today.
Hi, Steve. Thank you for having me.
So, Angelina, I know we've been through a fun time here coming together with your book and stuff. Talk to me a little bit about what inspired you to write this book.
The book was inspired by the wildfires that happened in the town that I live in Fort McMurray, Alberta. And it was actually recorded as the most expensive Canadian catastrophe. So really what was happening during the fire and everything that we had to endure when we had to be evacuated from our town is really what inspired me to write the book. And it's sort of really just married to what I was going through personally and spiritually at the moment. And it just came to me that every single stage that we had to follow in order to be able to come home safely was almost similar to what was happening to me spiritually while I was searching for my purpose, embracing it, and really working towards fulfilling my God-given purpose.
I love the story and how you then parallel the very real fire that you went through to the fires that all of us go through in our life, and how if we're looking, we really can find the purpose and the meaning behind it.
Exactly. It is really, really similar because when we were going through the fire, there was no time to prepare. It was just this, you know, the fire started. It really spread very fast, very quickly. We had to make decisions. There was really no time to spend thinking about or contemplating how things would be. We just had to really put things together and get our families in a safe place. And afterwards, just seeing the love and compassion that our community and other communities and really Canada-wide, how people really stepped up to help us. And those people that were really close to us, some people had family members that they could go to for help, and other people within different communities that opened up their homes. To me, it really related to what I was going through spiritually, because when I began to really feel the pressure that I was here for a bigger purpose, that I had to really start serving and not be selfish and just want to accomplish these goals that will only serve me. It felt that way, that I had to make decisions very fast, very quickly. I had to be willing to trust myself that what I needed to change some behaviors and some attitudes about how I was living my life. And when I started looking at myself in that light, I realized that God had already surrounded me with people that were almost like the first responders that came up when we were evacuating the fire. I realized that I had first responders in my life, people that were willing to help me through fulfilling my God-given purpose, people that were open, that were available. And for as long as I was open to them, they would assist me in the process. So every single process, just the evacuation, having those first responders, and being vulnerable in the sense that now you've told people that you want to go for this thing that's bigger and better and maybe probably unreachable if you were to tell someone, makes you really vulnerable either to people that are going to help you or people that want to put you down. And so really all the processes of the fire are very similar to the things that you have to do in terms of adjusting behaviors and attitudes, maybe having to leave some people that you may have thought are helping you and are really hindering your progress in your purpose journey, and just having the courage to come forth and face yourself for those things that you may have been lying to yourself about, that you know were not healthy behaviors and ways to live.
And I love at the end of the book, you know, you talk about the people who came into your house and they weren't just going through the motions, but they were really engaged and involved in helping you get back on your feet and have a house that really functioned like a house should.
Exactly. And that was really, really, it was just such a revelation for me. First of all, when they came to my home, you always have, whenever something is about to happen, our minds tend to kind of give us a picture of what it would look like. If it's a person, what they may look like, what they may wear, how they may speak. And so when this group of people walked into the house, they were nothing like I imagined. There were these two butch guys. I was like, oh my God, I need to find some weights. They look like they're about to go to the gym. And then there was these other two little African girl, and she was the only girl there. And then there was another African guy, and there were two young men that probably getting ready to go to university. And so they were really diverse when you looked at them, and it was in the picture that I had that people would look like. And so people who cleaned your house or who worked for a cleaning company would look like. And so it really brought me to spiritually, when God sends us people to help us in our purpose, that we shouldn't limit ourselves because of what maybe our mind may have told us that the person should look like, or how they should speak, or where they come from, or what they have accomplished, that God uses anyone that is available to you to help you. And so you should remain open, you know, and don't judge a book by its cover probably would be the right thing to say about that. But again, besides them looking differently, they had so much grace in what they were doing. They understood the emotional stress that we had to endure being evacuees. And so they were so gracious in how they moved in our house, how they moved our furniture. I mean, even things that I would just pick up and throw over there because maybe I know I bought it 2-3 years ago, they treated it like it was something that was brand new. And again, it just reminded me of God, that to him we remain precious, that we may think we're used up, that we've gone to dark places where we have done things that make us unworthy of our purpose. But God still sees us in the same light from the time that he created us and gave us the purpose. We're still pure. We're still brand new to him. I mean, this company, when we came to our house 5 hours later, they had one of the members, the young men, was still cleaning our blinds. And to me, there was just so much symbolism. It was almost as if God is saying, now that your sanctuary is where it should be, I'm still cleaning this space that allows you to see even further, because we open our blinds, right, every day to see outside. So that was the symbolism to me, is, you know, this place where you are, you're in a good space now,
but now you can look outside and look beyond and serve and really be able to function within your purpose. So it's just this cleaning company just opened up my eyes to a lot of things, you know, physically, in that now my home didn't have the smell of the smoke. Now I could see hope for myself, my family, and my town, that we can rebuild, that we can restore. But even more so spiritually, that in my purpose journey, God still sees me as bright as the day He created me, as brand new as that day, that He wants my sanctuary, which is my heart, to operate from a good and healthy space. And when I do that, He wants me to have the courage to open the blinds and look beyond and serve other people. I mean, this young man almost reminded me of Jesus when I saw him. And the one thing that was really fundamental, I have to say this, is we wanted the cleaning agent that he had used to clean the house, that the company had used. And so when we asked him first, he was telling us where to go and buy it. And my husband said, no, we want what you have. So he went and he said, let me check if there's a bottle. He brought out a bottle that was half full and said, there you go. And so when we asked him about how to use this product, he said, oh, you don't even need a lot. You just use a tablespoon and a bucket full of water, and you don't even need to scrub. And to me, it felt like God is saying to me, I will always give you the tools. I will always leave you with the tools that you need to walk in purpose, to fulfill your purpose. And guess what? You don't even need to put in energy. You don't need to create all these things that are outside of me. No scrubbing, just as simple as a tablespoon, just me. That's all you need in order to fulfill your purpose. And so it was just, everything was just marrying so profoundly. I couldn't believe that, you know, God is saying, okay, if I speak to you, you may not hear it. I just want you to see what it looked like. And to me, the cleaners was seeing what it looked like in God's heart for me and for my purpose.
I would hope that no one would ever have a calamity in their life, in their city, but it happens to all of us. And I love how the book allows you to be able to take those circumstances in your life and really learn how through the fire you can find and fulfill your purpose in God's eyes. Do pick up the book, Through the Fire, Finding and Fulfilling Our God-Given Purpose by Angelina Paul. Angelina, thank you so much for being with us here on the show today.
Thank you so much, Steve, for having me. And I really do agree with what you just said, is that, you know, at the end of the day, we're not to just see the chaos and the loss, and that material things really don't have a bearing on our self-worth and our purpose. And so I thank you for having me, and I really hope that people will pick up the book and they'll find themselves wherever they fit in the story, in their own journeys, and that, you know, some light bulb will ring in their head and they will be able to have some sort of transformation that will have them break through and help other people. And I certainly hope that within my community that the book will reach out and it will provide some sort of healing and comfort and direction, knowing that God still loves us and God still sees us as brand new, and that there's a purpose beyond the losses that we endure. So thank you very much.
You've probably heard the phrase that some of the greatest lessons in your life come wrapped in sandpaper. Oh, how we wish that weren't true. And yet it is. Often the things that have helped us be the best version of ourselves are some of the most difficult, most traumatic events that we have lived through in our life. And it's not that we would wish those on anybody else. As parents, you know, we would try to save our children from every single scratch and bump in life. But what ends up happening is that all we can do is comfort them and be there for them and hopefully then help them to learn through those difficult situations in life. And I want to really be here to help encourage you today. I wish I could take away the bumps and bruises in your life too. I don't have that ability, but what I can do is help you to be able to see that through the fires in your life, real or emotional, that there is a way out, that there is a clean, new, remodeled tomorrow that you can and should live in. it becomes a choice. And that allows us the ability to live our lives on purpose and with a purpose that even most of the time becomes greater than what it was prior to those events. So I'm not asking you to celebrate those events as much as I'm asking you, let's all be able to take those things that we can't change in our life and have the courage to be able to be the best version of ourselves through the fires in our own life. You're listening to Thriving Entrepreneur.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who've been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called accelerated networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. You know, I really love this time of the show. It's tough because it means that another show is coming towards a close. And of course, I always wish that we could spend more time together. You've heard me say it a million times over, the hour goes by so quickly. But I also love these minutes that I get here at the end that I can share with you just a little bit from my heart about how much I appreciate the time that you've spent with me, but also how much Kathy and I would love the opportunity to pour what we've learned in our over 25 years each of marketing experience, how we can help you thrive in your business, and hopefully through thriving in your business, that you will also live a thriving life. We have a group. It's free. It's called Best Sellers Guild. If you go to bestsellersguild.com, you can join that group for free. What we know for sure is that 80%+ of the people in the world say that they want to write a book, but only about 5% of the people ever write those. I know that somewhere in that gap of that 75% are the people who are just sitting there just wishing, just longing to be able to put out their message. And yet, that story is still inside of them. Sometimes it's because you're afraid. You're afraid of what will the people in my life think? You know, there's even, like Linda's book was, there's a lot of shame sometimes in things that have happened in our past. What I can tell you for sure is the best way to crush a shame is to speak it out. What is hidden still has power over you. But when we bring things into the light, it begins to break those bonds of that shame around you. And it's through speaking it that we then can gain back our power. You know, you've heard the phrase, forgiveness isn't for the other person, it's for yourself. That's so very true, because when we live in a place where we're shaming ourselves, where we're blaming ourselves, where we're not living the best version of ourselves, the only person that's suffering from that is us. And I want you to really feel free today, released today, to be able to really break out of that mold and live a life on purpose. You've been through some fires. You've had some challenges in your life. And now is your chance to get to live as a thriving entrepreneur. I want that for you so much. Kathy and I love being able to help people, amazing change agents in this world, to be able to share their message with the world, because we know that when they share it, our world becomes a better place. It adds to everything in the world and make it just a little bit better. Your story has the ability to do that. We all discount our stories. We all go, well, you know, but nobody needs to hear mine. My story is boring. That's so not true. I promise you, there is somebody right now that is searching for the answer for that thing that you do so easily that you don't even realize that is your purpose. When it comes down to this discussion about living our life in the purpose that we were intended to live in, that's what it's all about. It's sharing that uniquely brilliant part of ourselves with the person next to you and anybody that you come in contact with. And if Kathy and I can help you increase the circle of the number of people that you can bring that message in contact with, then we feel blessed. We really do feel honored for every opportunity we get to be able to share with you, to help you thrive in all that you do. So feel free to join us, bestsellersguild.com. We would love to have you there. And we really would love to start the conversation with you about how you can be our next best-selling author. We know that you have a message, and we want to help you share it. And we're so confident in it that we guarantee you that if you let us help you, we will make you a best-selling author. And we know that your book will have enormous impact in your life, but also in the world. Because remember, you are uniquely brilliant. You were created for a purpose, and the world needs you. Kathy and I are here to help you live every day of your life as a thriving entrepreneur. If you need anything, feel free to reach out to us at bestsellersguild.com. We're here for you, and we would love to see you be our next best-selling author. Until next time, have a great week.
Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. If you want to get your question answered, send an email to questions@wehelpyouthrive.com. We look forward to you joining us again next time.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time, because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to WeHelpYouThrive.com. Check us out and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.